Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Joni and Jared. I'm not Joni. I'm Jared. we're on Mom and Son Radio Show here every Sunday, and we're going to take you through the process of winning battles in your everyday life. My mom's a biomechanist who spent 34 years studying, researching, and working with people to win their physical health battles, and home educating myself and my brothers. She's cross-trained us to win other battles until she began to see a systematic way to approach and win everyday battles in everyday life. We're really excited to help you win your battles, and even though everybody has them and struggles with them, I was doing so well, too. I was on a winning streak.
it's all right. Keep battling, you'll win it.
But we're here to help you win battles, not just in ourselves and other people, but reoccurring problems, our health, level of performances, communication, and many, many other things that are part of everyday life. So, yeah. Ta-da! Bum, bum, bum. That's my mom's cue.
Right, but you have a question you're supposed to ask me.
Why is 2 + 2?
Oh, it's always...
I thought you were going to pull a curve and say 5. But what does it mean that this is your battle to win?
So your battle to win means that you are not a victim of your circumstances. Everyone has unique struggles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's unique. And then we have a choice to win our individual battles or to lose them, you know, to lose the struggles that we're in.
Completely up to you.
It is. And so, you know, we can't blame others. We can't, you know, ignore it. We have to make a decision and say, is the battle or the struggle worth winning? We have to count the costs. And, you know, some of those costs are like our pride, right? I mean, that's probably the biggest obstacle to us winning our battles is our pride or not wanting to try to figure out a better way or a different way. We just want to do it the way that we feel at the moment. That's when we're losing. When we're winning, you know, we've trained ourselves. We've been disciplined. We've, you know, gone through the process of being humble and looking at things from different directions and finding a way. So we have to count the cost. Is it worth us giving up our pride? We have to give effort and time. We really have to, in that humility, be asking for generous wisdom. You know, generous wisdom is something that it says in Scripture that the Lord wants to give us, generous wisdom. And, you know, if people aren't at a place to necessarily petition the Lord for that, really wisdom comes from our research and looking into other materials and, you know, listening to other people and hopefully getting really good wisdom.
So what are the results of asking for generous wisdom? So how does that help us map out and win our battles?
We have hundreds to thousands of battles that we want to win. You know, and unless we really take a look at them, then or really pursue to have wisdom in them, how are we going to win them? You know, we're just going through our daily routine, kind of floating down a fast moving river to a, you know, potentially dangerous waterfall we see in our personal lives, and we can see it, you know, as a society, we're having those same types of issues. So our Creator, the one who says His glory is goodness in what He spoke to Moses, He wants us to win and have, you know, have the good that we can produce overcome evil. So when we are double-minded, it's not a word that we usually talk about. However, really, when we see ourselves tossed around in chaos or drama or our heartaches or headaches, you know, really that's because we're not settled single-mindedly on the win or the good that truth can produce. So we may not identify the sources of our double-mindedness, but that is the purpose of having wisdom, to have our faith or our belief or the truth. So we are not made to be victims. We are empowered with knowledge, wisdom, discernment, prudence, discretion, and truth, among other good things. And the more exact we are at looking into these things that cause conflict in us, then the more easily we can win them. We want to learn from our wins and then apply them to the next win, and that's what this is about.
Okay. So before we continue and get to the next section, everybody go ahead and get a writing instrument and a writing surface. So that would be like a pen, pencil, or a notebook or other form of paper. Because we're going to help you map out your win and or wins, plural, because there's multiple wins out there. But as we're waiting, go ahead and, Mom, give some examples of how we map our wins out.
Okay.
As everybody's getting their thingamajiggers.
The thingamajiggers. All right, let's map out this win first. The win that you need to do is listen to Jared right now, because this is probably the toughest win for the day, is really getting the notebook, getting the paper. You know, he said to do it, but, you know, how well do you listen?
Yeah. You got to do it as I say and say as I does.
It's probably, you know, for a few people, they journal all the time. They take notes everywhere they go. You know, they're already probably prepared. But for a lot of people, this, you know, I'm going to say this and they're going to sit there and go, oh, I'll just listen. I don't need to do this. Or I'll just listen to the recording and retake notes later. But, you know, the thing is that you're wanting to win this battle. And the first battle is to really understand the value of being intentional mm-hmm. with what you're doing. And, you know, when you went to, if you have gone through school, you know, any level of school, you have had to take notes. You have to be intentional about the knowledge. And the thing is that we were really guided towards learning things, you know, writing, reading, writing, and arithmetic. But what we're going to talk about today about winning battles. This really should have been the basis of our education, because everyone is guaranteed they're going to be in a battle. So, you know, all the intention you've had whenever you've had to learn things at work or, you know, with other people or at church or just the, you know, magazines or the books that you enjoy reading, it takes a concerted effort. Unless you really take notes or organize those thoughts, you won't master it. So just think through your life, and if you're, I'm giving you time to go get your.
y'all should have gotten your thingamajiggers by now.
Yeah.
Your writing instrument and writing surface.
Yes. So, you know, the reason why I'm emphasizing this so much is because last week when we did the get your notebook out thing, I had got some feedback from, a listener who said, no, I didn't go do it.
Rebel.
And she's an educator.
What?
And so, you know, the thing
that
is...
That was her battle. It's
everyone's battle. Really, the most important thing you can do right now is please, even
get
if you don't want to, yeah, get paper, because you're really needing to organize this all. Okay, so while you're doing that, I just want you to kind of hear what I've gone through. In discovering this process, you know, I decided I would just kind of sit down and start writing out different things, and started realizing, hey, you know, we can be really intentional with this. So I've done a few different things, but right now, just on the concept of mapping the win, I wrote out as a title on my paper, I wrote mapping the win. And then I wrote, you know, you might chuckle at some of my things, but my first thing that I wrote down is no parasites.
Oh.
That could be in different ways, but it was really the physical thing. We had all eaten something that made me realize that, hey, we need to get this out of our lives, no parasites. So second was cooperation, you know, just things in our family, willingness, teamwork, faithfulness, holiness.
Self-control.
No. Yeah, same heart.
Going down the fruit of the spirit.
Discretion, you know, things that I wanted for our kids, you know, for us, wisdom, be at rest, walk in uprightness and faith, to have a clean home, mutual care for one another, new furniture, all the food we want, organization.
Oh, that sounds great.
And you see, that's upped a lot. I mean, it's been actually one that I've done for a long time. And so organization and unlimited savings, and to be able to do whatever we want when we want to. So another time I itemized 22 health problems I'd like to win. And then another time I listed emotional problems that I wanted to address. And so here are a few things that could give you some ideas. And we're going to get very specific, but I just want to have this overview for you so you're kind of geared, so it's not just a bunch of information that you really can be thinking about more personally. What makes you angry? So I wrote, what makes me angry is when others are resistant and stubborn. And so I wrote, what I hate are lies, deceit, avoidance, a-holedness.
Is that a word? Are we making that a mom just invented a new word? A-holedness.
And slothfulness. I hate it when I want, when I hate.
I'm just surprised it didn't put a red squiggle underneath of it when I wrote it down. Is that a word already? Stay tuned until next time when we find out if the word's a real word.
That's funny. I'm sure someone can be Googling it while we're talking.
A-holedness.
All right. So I noticed that when I feel hatred, it's because I am pushing things away. And then I become rude when people are not diligent or are uncaring. And then I don't like to necessarily use the pissed off word, but getting real. I mean, we have to really get real with what's bugging us or what are our real emotions. So, you know, because they're battles we have to win. We don't want to walk around pissed off. So I wrote, I get pissed at lackadaisicalness, unattentiveness, and when people won't listen. Okay, so how do you map the win off those negative things, you know, for instance, that I wrote down or that you'll write down? And so this is what I wrote. I wrote, mapping the win is when people are resistant and stubborn, I will not become like they are.
Amen.
And that's the temptation. It's such a temptation. So what I wrote is, my character is strong enough to remain humble and able to cooperate while setting the standards of pursuing to be patient, kind, and not rude, not arrogant, not seeking my own way, but the truth. I will map the win for them and pray for the tools they need to win their battle. So what I you know, in this whole process, you'll see over this you know, show and then the next couple shows, really this process of being able to not only deal with yourself, but then actually be able to declare wins for other people. You know, right now it might seem like it's kind of weird, but you can actually see a whole lot when you do this.
Yeah. It's all in with also what you're wanting to see too, because if you want to see how that declares a win, then you'll see it. If not, then you need to work on that.
Yeah. Okay. And so just real quickly, I want to go through these other ones quicker than that, just so that you can have some things in your mind. Again, so I wrote, my declared win is, I will continue to hate the lies, deceit, and turning a blind eye, rudeness, and slothfulness. However, I will not be hateful to push these things away. I will operate in peace and rest because I know the power of believing that these things can be overcome in them and others is more powerful than believing it cannot or will not improve. I mean, this is a big, important point,
mm-hmm.
because this is a huge losing point for a lot of us, is there's a lack of belief that it can be overcome or that it can be overcome in somebody else. And part of it is not believing it can be overcome in you, not believing that I, for instance, can actually operate in peace and rest in the midst of somebody else's lies, deceit, and rudeness.
Mm-hmm.
So my belief must be evident and stronger than their belief in their wrongdoing. And my belief in the wrongdoing. So
you do that by writing it down. That's the first step.
It is. It's so important to, like, I was able to.
Because then also what you write down holds you accountable because it's right there in front of you. You wrote that. There's no escaping that in a way.
And it's a major reinforcement. It does so much more to put it down in writing because you actually physically put your thoughts mechanically into action. And so it does a lot neurologically. So, okay, I cannot make someone more diligent or caring by being rude. My declared win is to be patient and to demonstrate diligence to be patient and to care for those who aren't diligent or don't care. My declared win, okay, so for another one, then again, I'm just going through this quickly just to, like, maybe, you know.
Reference.
Well, yeah, and also loosen up some soil in your mind. My declared win is that I can find a better way than getting pissed to address other people's apathy or disinterest, such as remaining at peace and being prayerful, because no amount of my displeasure is worth directing at someone who does not want my activism or interest or communication. Instead, my maintaining my cheerful, attentive disposition will do more to cause them to think than my pissiness.
Apparently that's a word too.
Well, so this is the freedom you really want to engage yourself with. You want to be free to say things that you may not say or think because they're there in your mind.
But you don't get to usually express them.
Right. Right. And so then in essence, you're being, you're turning a blind eye to yourself. You're maybe even deceiving yourself or lying to yourself. Those are things that we've talked about too. With our foster son. We had a foster son a while back, and it really showed me that, the reason why he couldn't get through certain things is because he was told certain things about himself that he believed, and that he began lying to himself that he wasn't capable or that he wasn't, and he was fully capable. But it really is a lie to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
I've been the test dummy with this. I've come up with a system to help you win your battles that we have inside ourselves and that we have to deal with that are inside other people that obviously get made manifest in our lives, because then that creates a friction, and this is how you win.
All right, so share your system.
What? My system is write it down. That's step one. Step one is write it down.
Yeah, I hope you all have your pieces of paper.
If you don't have it by now, I don't know what's going on in your life. Are you on a desert island with no internet?
Right, because
we're an internet radio show, so that doesn't make sense.
We're still in the introduction phase so that you can get your pens and pencils, but this
Before
is all important.
Step.
Right. Okay. So where am I? You threw me off by saying you have a system. And
I didn't develop it.
I know
smart.
You didn't mean that, but that's what they heard. So I was like, okay, let's hear it, kiddo. But okay.
Oh.
but he has definitely been, like you said, not the test dummy, but he's been...
The test smarty?
Yeah, the test smarty. And he's done well with it. So you can quickly put these problems, to rest by documenting them. You want to be able to look at them squarely in the face and see that you're going to need to correct it someplace. I mean, it can continue to grow and get worse, or you can correct it now. I mean, there's no point in waiting. So over the course of the next weeks and the months, we'll go over many ways that you can get after what we call attacks. Okay, so the idea that you're in a battle and that you get sideswiped by these attacks, and they can be things that are very obvious, like, someone coming up to you and all of a sudden saying rude things to you or something that offends you. But they could be subtle things too. They could be things that all of a sudden start creeping in, like, nobody said anything to reaffirm that you did well. So you start feeling like nobody thinks that you're able to perform well or, hit the ball well or dance well or whatever it is. So these are attacks that we all need to become proficient in identifying. So there are various types of attacks. And, when you're not expecting them or you don't know how to deal with them, that's how you lose.
Mm-hmm.
So here, what I'm doing is I'm giving you ideas and uses of words, but really I want everyone to be able to figure out what's even better for you, like the specific ways that meet your unique way of thinking and processing information. So this is how I see it. And these words, again, you'll use my words for now, but feel absolutely free to change them into something that really expresses how you think.
Because this is your battle to win.
Yes. So what I wrote down, okay, this is not part of what we're going to go through. It's going to be more mechanical in a moment after the commercial break. But what leads to the win, what leads to the win, I asked myself. And so what I said to you before, I said absolute commitment to the vision. Mm-hmm. Single-mindedness cannot, will not be discouraged or dissuaded. And then an absolute resolve that there is a way to win. So, you know, you need to be able to ask yourself, what draws out those types of words in you? You know, you may just ask yourself, what leads to the win? And then you want to answer that question. And then, you know, how do I get there? How do you get there? How do I get there? So for me, I wrote, you know, I just wrote the question down and then I answered it. I said, the character of God. I get there. I get to my absolute commitment to the vision and the single-mindedness by the character of God, by aligning, abiding, and asking him. And this is me, again, you know, I don't expect this to be for everybody. And, you know, I hope people can respect where I'm coming from, where my faith is, and that I want it
to be. That's their battle to win.
Yeah, and well, hopefully not. I mean, yeah, I guess so, if it's irritating
to
them, right,
or
something. But, I want to include everybody that, you know, they don't have to think, obviously, the way I'm, these words are not meant for people to have to emulate them unless they, you know, obviously agree and want to. But it's the process that of winning your own battles that I'm putting forth. So for me, I get there by saying, I align myself, abide, and ask the only wise God. So I'm not only looking for his character to align with, but I'm recognizing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that that's the only way that I'm going to be able to master my battles, is to really acknowledge things that I can't figure out on my own without identifying something way more than how I think on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so guidance. So how do I get there? I also wrote down guidance, leadership. And again, this is spontaneous. This is, when I wrote this down, it took me a minute. You know, you want to just pour out what you really believe so you can have it there on paper and you can see, is it complete? Do you need more? You know, where am I? But so I wrote guidance, leadership. I get there by guidance, leadership, discipleship, mentors, encouragement, camaraderie, and teamwork. That's how I see that I get to my wins.
So now comes the fun part where we actually start writing things down. So if you all don't got your writing instrument and writing surface, I love putting it together instead of just a pad and paper. No, writing instrument.
Battle tools.
But yeah, let's get your stuff together, and we're gonna start telling you how to the method to drawing your map.
So what you're gonna do right now is on your paper you want to begin the process of listing and categorizing the struggles and problems that you have. So the first, you know, these are some ideas, and again we'll end up reviewing these on other shows because, you know, this is a lot of information, and I want you to feel the freedom to do whatever comes, you know, just comes spontaneously. So if you don't want to do all of this, if you don't want to do the whole big picture, I just want to show that there is an overview. If you're going to map something, you have to see the whole thing. You want to see every nook and cranny that's there that you're going to be walking through. So right now, you don't have to do all of this unless you want to. The process is so that if you're going to map it, you have to be able to see it. And then when you're ready, we'll help you to map it if you're not quite there right now. So the listing and categorizing of the struggles and problems, those categories are, some examples are first your personal, right, struggles,
mm-hmm.
Things that you might be struggling with, family, work, friends, church, you know, any of the organizations you participate in, sports or, you know, recreation things or clubs. You know, these are all areas where there might be some struggle and you want to clear it up. So the way to categorize it, once you identify these larger lists, categories, is you'll look at the mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, time, health, character, logistical, image, those types of things, you know, whatever the categories you feel are, you know, where you're having a personal issue. So, you know, you're going to continue to narrow it down from the big picture to the smaller things. And, you know, and actually not just the family work, but it could be problems with, you know, what's happening in your city. It could be on the the school board or at school. It could be, however it is with professors or at the university. It could be something bigger, a problem that's happening in your state or in the country, or if you do business around the world, it could be things that are happening in a bigger picture. So, just wanting to highlight that. And so, again, in any of those categories, you might be having some issue with, some things on how you think or how you feel or, how much resources or money or time go there, your health or how someone else's health. So these are how you want to subcategorize your struggles and problems. And so some of these things could be, I'm going to give you four different categories of examples, but obviously this could be end up dozens of different things. And this is why often we don't take a look at it, because it seems overwhelming, but when you begin to list and categorize it, it just becomes manageable for you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you realize how, at least in my case, how simple the win can be, like it's how obtainable it is if you're trying to manage it in our minds. It seems like it's so big because it's the space that it's taking up. If you write it down and get it off your mind, yeah. And then you're able to see it and be like, oh, not saying that your problems are not problems, but they get broken down and then they seem digestible, and even just writing it down a little bit helps a lot.
Right. Some of it just dissolves and goes away when you just write it down.
True.
And it only needs to be a few sentences. So the way that we're going to show you, it will be only maybe 5 minutes or less on a problem, and substantial help happens. So these subcategories that we just talked about, that you can look at are, you might have a struggle or problem because you feel ashamed, embarrassed, fearful, spiteful, resentful, paranoid, stubborn, lazy, or you're making a bunch of excuses. When you start seeing those things, you're like, I'm making a bunch of excuses because there's a problem there. There's a struggle that I'm having, and I'm excusing myself or trying to figure out a solution that's really a non-solution. So you want to be able to identify that battle by saying, hey, I'm making excuses. There's a battle here, or any of the other things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for, let's say, in the area of finances, you can see there's a battle if you're overspending, or you have no strategy for finances, or no money for training on how to use money, or lacking mentoring, or poor examples, or opposing forces that are occurring. So, these are just ideas, again, that you can say, hey, I'm having a struggle with my finances. What are the reasons? What is the battle there for me? All right, so lack of wisdom. So you might, in another battle, say, hey, identifying it like, okay, I'm in a battle because I lack wisdom here, or I have no time, or I have no training on how to use my time wisely. Mm-hmm. Or, I have health problems and I can't discern what is true about health. Or, you can identify that I'm relying upon doctors instead of taking any ownership of this. I'm relying upon media because I don't know who to turn to find out what's going on in the world or in our area. Or, you feel uncertain about truths. These are battles that you're facing, and unless you write them down and you look them square in the eye, you may not even identify like, oh, I'm feeling so uncertain about how I can know the truth that I'm not willing to really put the effort because it seems insurmountable. Okay, and so the fourth example of categories might be, people are betraying me, they're backstabbing, they're gossiping, there's lawsuits against me, or corruption is happening in my department or in my something or another, being taken advantage of. There are manipulators in my life, or liars, or thieves, destroyers, people who are misleaders, or abusers. I mean, these are important things to see if you're seeing reoccurring patterns, to write them down, because they are struggles and there is a victory there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Jared, you had written out some things. You want to give us examples of them and why they were struggles for you?
Yeah, I was writing down stuff. To me, my biggest problem was time management and, prioritizing what things should happen when. Another issue was building better relationships in my family, and then there was also prioritizing work. I work out of home, so trying to balance. Let's just put those three things. But just writing the three categories on three separate pages as we're supposed to, was able to be like, okay, this is like just even though I didn't go into depth at all, I mean, just the fact that I had the three in front of me on separate pages helped me break down not just how they correlate to each other, because I knew they were all tied together, but it allowed me to see how each category and winning battles in each category helps another one in a different category. Sounds kind of complicated, but when you start writing it down and you see how everything's all intertwined, but also can be pulled together into different pieces, it really makes it cohesive. And something that I've realized is if you're having a problem with something or something is too much for your mind, start writing it down, and either one, you understand the depth of the problem as to why it's such a problem, or two, you feel really stupid that it is a problem. At least this is for me. I'll get mad over something, and I'll start writing down why I'm mad, and I'm like, this is pathetic why I'm so mad. This shouldn't even be a problem in the first place. Like, I shouldn't even be putting this much thought to it. It makes a huge difference, and as much as it could seem stressful to write it all down, it actually helps relieve tension. It takes the stress and the what's the word? Not the time criticalness. I want to try. Well, there's a better word than that.
Urgency.
The urgency. It takes it out of the equation and allows you to really meditate on how to overcome it.
Right. The perspective. You help yourself have a broader perspective towards your own thinking or towards your own perspective or perception.
Perspicace. I try to make a new way to pronounce it.
So you want to explain a little bit about writing it down on separate pages or itemizing them?
Like how to itemize it then?
Well, so the options are to itemize it all, write down all of them in a list of what you're seeing as your battles.
See, and okay, so yeah, but I mean it might work differently for some people, but I noticed that if I wrote all on a list on one page, that when it came to overcoming problems, that wasn't necessarily a help, because something about having the space of just writing the one thing at the top and then having a big space on the page, even though, you know, because some of them I didn't start filling them out, just the fact that there was that open space on the page just helped my brain kind of loosen up. So sometimes a list might be difficult if you're visual. You know, if you're a visual type of person and you see everything in a list, boom, 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 and it's not necessarily categorized out or organized, it might be a different type of overwhelming seeing, you know, my thoughts are not organized and there's all this inconsistency, and then you have to rewrite it down to make it an organized list, and you might have to change it around. But if you just do different categories, it really makes it bite-sized and cohesive.
Yeah, that's really good. See, he said a lot of things in there. It's the idea that for him, he doesn't want to rewrite it. That's another hurdle for him. That's another battle for him to win. Because he likes to write, he likes to do things on his devices, you know, on his phone and all this. So it was a hurdle for him to write it down. And so for him to have to write it down again off of there, but because that's how I worked in school, I would take my notes and then I would take notes from my notes and I'd reorganize them. That really helps me out a lot. And the idea, though, I totally feel that, you know, people need to just try what's going to work best for them. I like the idea of having multiple notebooks, but you could start with one notebook, like Jared has his one, and putting it down on each page. But I think it's good to have several notebooks so you can even organize it farther. You know, you can be more precise about this notebook is for family, this notebook is for, you know, for me, it's for work. And be able to just go with it, like you said, just run with the ideas, even if the rest of the page is blank. Then whenever you need to, you can go to that page, or you can have, if you don't want to do it like that, for some people it would be a lot more organized to get a binder and put their pages and be able to find whatever pages and have tabs and be able to, you know, locate it. So just ideas, whatever works best for you, like Jared said.
Mm-hmm.
So then you want to next list and categorize why the struggles, you know, why you're having these struggles. And they come from, and these are, again, examples of what to do, is so you might want to write down, list and categorize why you're having these struggles. And they come from your beliefs, weaknesses, traumas, hurts, abusers, insults, evils that are done to you, your needs, things that are overlooked, how you're slighted, ignored, what you're wasting, wasting time, wasting food, wasting energy, wasting emotions, anger, scoffing, stubbornness. They could be, the struggles could be occurring because of generational problems that mm-hmm. you see reoccurring in your family, disappointments. The struggles come from foolishness, you know, giving up or giving in. These are some examples.
Yeah. And, yeah, just as she said, these are examples. They're not designed to be taking shots at anybody.
Do you feel like it's taking a shot at you?
No, not me. I'm just saying, for the sake of the audience, some people might be like, well, that offends me because it sounds like you're saying that my beliefs are all whacked out. But then again, you know, nobody, no human, no man has a truly, you know, we don't have it all together. That's why we have battles. This is how we can move forward and continue to overcome them to get to the next step in improving ourselves. So be mindful of that.
Right, and be mindful to be humble because, you know, if you're feeling any kind of abrasion to this process, then that becomes one of the battles you want to write down. well, seriously.
Truth.
Seriously, whatever we're struggling with, it's very important that we write it down because we don't want to deny it. If you're having a problem with or irritated by this or something else that you're going through, it's just important if we're going to overcome it to face it and to square off with it. And that's why it's your battle to win. You know, you can say it's not or blame someone else, but then you're going to live still in that place of struggle. Okay, so another way to look at or categorize then these struggles are self, you know, then kind of what we just talked about. You know, is this self-related? Is this others-related? Am I being a victim and blaming other people? Does this have to do with systems that are in place or rules or codes or statutes or laws? Is there assumptions behind this? Are there sins? Is it decisions that I'm making or other people are making on my behalf? So these are categories of why, further categories of why we struggle and we want to identify them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so part three here is now list how to overcome the struggles that you want mastery and proficiency, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here are a few things. Again, these are examples, but they're very important examples. The ways to overcome or master or have proficiency is you want to look at your character. So in that, you're looking for, you know, how wise you are. You know, you might think you're wise, but personally I found that there's a lot of room to be a lot wiser.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
That should not be seen as a bad thing.
So in the character, that's also humility, right? So determination. How determined are you to master or be proficient at overcoming struggles and battles? The faith. Do you have faith? Do you believe that it's possible? And where is that faith? And hope. Do you have hope that you can overcome these? And if not, then they are part of your battle. Because these are the ways to overcome your battles. But if you're having problems with them, then they're obviously a battle that you have to win first.
Mm-hmm.
So they're your tools, but they also could become a battle if you can't use those tools. So persistence, love, patience, these are all tools to mastery, goodness, joy. You know, if you don't have these things, then you are losing. You know,
yep.
We're losing when we don't have joy and when we don't have peace and when we don't have kindness and gentleness and restraint and when we're not tempered or we don't have foresight. These are all losses. But they're also losses because they're the tools, they're the very essence of what we need to win the battles. And most of us don't see it. I mean, I didn't see it. I've been looking to understand the battle for almost 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's a little longer. And, so the idea is that, you know, it takes time to understand the battle. And so, you know, don't beat yourself up for not understanding it. But at the same time, it's like, here, win it.
Mm-hmm.
Win these tools. Okay, so also you want investment. You know, to overcome the struggles, you must invest time, energy, money, and resources. It has to be there because these are the things you value. And the proficiency that you want to overcome it, to handle all types of attacks and problems. At some point, we're going to go through this later because this is, in a sense, more advanced, but you want to be able to understand what these attacks are before they happen. Okay, right now we're going through is how to kind of clean it up mm-hmm. from all the attacks, but we want to be on an offense where we can see and have that organized before through assessment and then after to be able to take a look at what happened after situations and assess it with the win or the loss because that's going to help us later. And then our mastery of assessment itself becomes one of those tools to overcoming, which is our preparation, practice, and perfecting of the process. You'll map your win by overviewing with four O's, all right? You're going to want to write and draw up like a map, and you want to follow it.
Oh.
So that's why the overview, you want to overview and see like a map. And so these four O's are orient to the win, organize for the win, own your win, and then overcome. So and have won.
Overcame.
Yeah, I was going to say overcame, but it's a little difficult for people to overcame instead of overcome.
I has overcame the world.
Okay, so orient, number one, orient to the win. You want to position yourself to win. And in order to do that, you must be definitive, deliberate, and determined. These are very important. That's the reason to write this down, because you need to be so in line with your win and oriented towards the precision of it that, you know, that you keep it front and center. And so you want to document it and write it down. So you want to envision it, which means that you need to be very literal, very specific. You want it to be tangible. You want your senses involved and you want your belief completely front and center, single-minded on it. And you want to be exact, precise, specific. So you have an example that you can share with us, right, about how exact and specific we need to be because 1 degree off can create a big problem.
Yes, absolutely. If an airplane was to fly around the Earth's equator and but was 1 degree off from its starting point, if it doesn't change its course and realign itself with the equator, by the time it has fully circled the Earth back to the approximate starting area, they would have flown over 500 miles off of its original course, because just off that one, just being 1 degree off. But at any point that the airplane is flying and it's off course, it can come back to being aligned with the equator. But the longer that it flies off course, the more fuel, time, energy it's going to take for the plane to fly back on course with the equator.
Right. And it still needs to use navigational tools to get there, too.
Absolutely.
So the tools that you can use at the very beginning to make sure you're precise is important, because you're just going to need to be skilled at those same things to get back on course anytime.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have the same skill level or more. So,
yeah.
So the same goes for archery, right?
Yeah, then the same thing, like if any inconsistency in your aiming, the arrow is going to be off course of its target or the specific part of the target if you want to get, you know, if you're that detailed, you know. That's another thing too, is the more focused you are on your destination and the better and the clearer picture that you have, the more on course you will fly or you will shoot to achieve that. Your margin for error will be decreased the more specific that you are.
So then where you want to go and determine your strategies, you know, you need to have precise strategies in order to achieve your win. So that you will go over this on your own in the next week, and we're going to have webinars to work with people if you're interested. Today we'll be doing how to declare wins, and then we're going to help you sharpen tools in order to meet those wins. And then some of the other things that we'll be covering will be aligning beliefs and identifying conflicting beliefs, and then being single-minded on those beliefs, on the correct aligned, well-aligned beliefs. because you have multiple beliefs, right? We talk about sets of beliefs in our thinking and our language.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be able to really see what those are. We need to be able to identify the traumas that we've experienced in our past and correct the thinking. We need to be able to look at the hurts we have and come at it with a correct perspective to overcome it. We have disappointments that we need to overcome. We have insults and blessings that we need to, we have insults that we have to overcome with blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some strength needed to do that, and there's a need to declare wins on that. So that's about half or a little less of some of the categories that we have in tools, then therefore to address different problems that we encounter.
Mm-hmm. And something to notice about that list is that there's, there's in everything that is listed there, there's an immediate contrast. Nothing is left up stuck to that one from problematic area. With every problem, there is always a solution to overcoming that.
Yes. And so, we were really sidetracked to think that it was so important that we learn to read, write, and arithmetic, which is important. But again, we could have done so much more had our education focused more on these tools that we need that everyone experiences, problems and battles. Those are the most important thing to do, and then people start to see the reasons why to problem solve using reading and writing and arithmetic, right? And to be able to incorporate that into problem solving. Okay, so basically you can see from that list, for the most part, they contain opposites. And so whatever the problem is that you have, you can kind of see that you're required to do the opposite thing than what you're doing, whatever the problem is that you're having.
Yeah.
And so, you have to be able to figure out what that is and what will overcome the problem. So we will go over the declared wins and tools today, and then we'll add other tools in the next week. So the second O is for organize for the win. You need to prioritize what you value. I mean, you always do. You prioritize what you value, and if you want to win, you're going to have to prioritize and become very organized for that win. So what matters the most is where you give your attention, energy, your persistence, your diligence, your patience, and your effort. So we want to have whatever your battle is, whatever those problems are, they need to fit into your priorities. And that is a battle you have to win. You have to make the battle a priority, winning a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't organize, it won't happen. So
It's important that also with the contrast between, the wins and the losses, you need to be organized with your win. I mentioned this earlier in the last segment, that you have to be focused on your win, or you're going to lose your traction and, essentially be losing your battles. And you have to make the time to be able to focus on your victory, because nobody has ever gotten to their success. If we want to put it in success terms, if your victory is a success, I mean, they're parallel. Nobody has ever achieved something without putting in the time. Even if they've been shadowing underneath somebody, or somebody else has been guiding them to that win, they still had to set aside the time to do that. It cannot be just handed to you. And even if it is, you will lose it quicker than you got it if you're not making the time for it.
So obviously the sales pitch here is that, most of you feel like, yeah, I want to make the time for it. But what you're going to see is that, that's probably going to be a battle too.
Yeah, it's a battle in and of itself. And you got to itemize the different factors in, like we said earlier, in when you're writing down your battles. You got to itemize the different things and stay organized with how you're going to achieve your victory, because everything can be broken down in a step-by-step process, and once you break it down in steps, everything is a lot simpler and easier on you. They may not necessarily be the easiest things to do, but it will be easier for you.
So I'll ask myself the question, how will we determine the tools we need to win?
I didn't see the...
The prompter, the teleprompter.
Oh, no.
All right. So the way that we do this
is... my face is good for
it. What we need is character. We need our own character. The tools we need to win, you know, comes from within us, the things that we master in our own ability. Now, character, you know, I don't know how most people think about it, but character really is all these different things. They're discipline, it's persistence, it's, you know, willingness, it's that humility, it's character is your joy, it's how you approach a problem, you know, it's having hope, so it's loving. You know, these are things that are part of your character. The willingness to discern, look to discern truth, that's part of your character, integrity, honesty. Okay, so we want people of character. Those are other tools we need to win our battles, is we need to be surrounded by people also of character. We need resources, that time, belief, and faith that we can win this. We need wisdom to be able to go beyond what we already know. Our actions, we have to have, you know, the absolute right actions to win, you know, and then there's the battle, is the conflict into where we do inappropriate or improper actions. And then we need the skills. So those skill sets could be, let's say, you know, if the tools to win is that you need to do a website, then you need those skills, or you need people with those skills. Mm-hmm. So the skills are needed for whatever it is. If you want to buy a home, there are a lot of skills that are necessary in there. And the character behind that is going to be discipline and, you know, the ability to stay the course and to earn and to, you know, save, to do some of the hard things that it requires to, you know, have foresight or, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So acquire the tools by having humility. These tools that we talked about, you need to battle to be humble and to discern, and that because you have to know whether the tool is the correct tool, you know, if you're really doing it, if the skill is the right skill, if you really are having right character, and then truth. So the truth that is things like, you know, is the food really healthy? That's really based on truth. Is the food healthy or not healthy? Is it going to make your body stronger?
Is it going to help your body win battles?
Mm-hmm. And then politics, you need truth about what's happening in the political realm, if whether the system is even succeeding at this point. And you need discernment and humility to figure some of these things out, because, you know, if you've had long-standing opinions, one of the things that's a check mark for me is that if I've had the same opinion for a long time, it's probably time to really look at it, because it's probably not based fully on truth, only a portion that I could understand when I was younger.
Mm.
But there's more. As we mature, there's more to understand, to know truth. And so, because truth is that, you know, seems far off and it's very specific. But at the same time, it's something that unfolds for us, and we have to have an attention to it, and that what we thought at the first is usually not the same. It's not correct in fullness. So economy, we need truth about our economy, truth about our rights. I mean, what does that mean? You know, truth about freedom and truth about our sport, about coaching then, therefore the sport, truth about your field, could be medicine, property, real estate. What's the truth behind it? And are you just functioning as what you know, or is there something greater behind what these things are? Finances, that should be obvious that there's some truths that we don't really know about what's going on in the whole financial realm. So the truth requires research. So it could be scripture, prayer, fellowship. You know, those are some important areas in which you can research. Use as tools for research, scripture, prayer, fellowship with other people that are doing the same or looking at it from that point of humility to see that there's more. Subject matter experts, I put in quotes experts, because, you know, you need to be very cautious on who we call experts. And again, that requires that discernment and humility to, as we look through books on the internet, you know, we watch documentaries or we're listening to radio programs like this or TV. We have to really discern whether or not these are really experts, or are they just going off information that too needs to be kind of won in the battle for truth. So you want people that are experts about you. In order to win this battle, you need experts about you. These are part of the tools, because you need feedback from people that you can trust. And even though you have to still discern and really kind of scrutinize whether or not they're saying the right thing about you, because they know you so well, they could either be saying things, you know, true, or they could be off. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all requires the discernment. So the experts on you are your own creator, you know, the one who created us. You're an expert on you. You need to consult yourself, family, and friends. So your experience is another means in order for you to acquire the tools, obviously. So your trial and error, you know, your successes and failures, the feedback that you get from the situations you want to pay attention to, persistence. You know, again, these are just different ways that you're going to acquire the tools, through persistence and diligence.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take another break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back, and we just discussed the O for orient and organize, and how we need to be precise in our orientation and prioritize to be organized. So the third O is to own your win. So you've come up with ways to form new habits specifically so we can reorient ourselves to win battles that we never had the organization to do prior. But how difficult is this to do and accomplish?
It's not difficult. So
it's not?
No.
That's great news.
So really, absolutely we wonderful. Call it the daily do. So on this owning your win, you have your daily do. And you must be convinced that you can, will, and must win. That's the only way. You have to own this win. It's got to be totally you.
Mm-hmm.
You must be convinced you can, will, and must win this. And so when you want something enough, you always form new habits. It's automatic that when you want something enough, you change. You make those changes. So the thing is that usually when you have a battle that's reoccurring, you're avoiding it. So
yeah.
It's not like you're running to it like some of the good things you want to change your habits for. You know, like you get into a relationship and all of a sudden you can move everything aside and spend all this 20, 40, you know, hours with somebody else. So it's possible when you want something enough, you form new habits. The thing is that when you're in a battle, it's not obvious and it's not often that you really want to form a new habit on that. So the thing is that it's not difficult. You just have to have the tools to do so. So
So
we're going to show you a little five-step process that we've named OPURE, O-P-U-R-E, for overview, preview, use, review, and excel. So in forming the new habits, you must see the big picture. You must overview it. That's mapping the win. You must see the big picture. And you must be able to go through the process like we just did, and of identifying all the factors, or as many factors as is reasonable in your, I mean, again, you can be flex with this depending on the type of person you are. If you're so detailed that you have to take care of it all at once, then that's what you're going to need to do. Overview it to the detail all at once. And if you're somebody who can't do that, it's just like, I get too bogged down. There's no way I can complete this. You want to just overview it as efficiently and as detailed as you can, but it'll be more obviously superficial than some people's. And that's okay. But you want to go through the process that we described above. So then after you overview, you want to be able to preview every day. You want to foresee your day. You need to see how your win fits into your decisions for that day.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to pre-record what your day will hold. And we have some tools for that too. You can do this on your own, or you can fit into this little format that we have. Then you want to use it. Not only do you want to preview it and see it, but you want to use it. You have to put what you're writing down into practice. It has to be front and center for you. That's your new habit.
Mm-hmm.
So you use it. Then, at the end of the day, to be efficient, even though this is going to take time, this is what you were talking about earlier, Jared, is even if it's going to take you time, it's going to so much free you up and save you time and save you all this negative drama energy and all this. Because now you're going to review what happened that day, you're going to record what you did, and you're going to assess your wins and losses. You really want to be able to assess, oh, instead of beat yourself up, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done this, or oh, I missed this, or I failed this test, or I failed this thing. You want to be able to just write it down, record it, and assess it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, if you're a student, hey, I didn't study enough for this.
It's the how I could do this better.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. So assess it, the win and the loss, and say, okay, I only studied, 10 hours, and this test required me to study so much more. How could I have done better at that? Or, how did I end up forgetting this? Oh, I went to that concert last week, or I stayed up too late, or something, I had too much sugar right before the test or something. You just assessing it and saying, look, I threw away this much and lost when I could have won. And so it's really important that you develop those skills. Those are critical skills that should have been taught to us while we were in preschool, kindergarten, first, second grade. So then the E in OPURE is excel, that you're always advancing. You never want to just not. You want to always be adjusting your course and always excelling. So, again, it's overview, preview, use, review, and excel. It's really just these five steps that help you to form a new habit, and it'll be a completely new habit.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll give you skills to continue to build on that. So the second part of the owning it is that you are owning that you are a winner, that you are.
That sounds wonderful.
It is. You're wonderful.
Oh.
The O's have it. Okay, so you are a winner, and you want to obviously have the thinking and the emotions and the actions of a winner. So that when you own your win, this will automatically happen because your belief is that this is the way you want to be and that you must therefore be.
It'll change your T, your thinking, emotions, and actions. But yeah, this is what I like the most about it, is it's overcome and win. Also could be stated as overcame and won. That's the ultimate goal, is to have it be a past tense thing that you actually, it goes back to the idea of owning it. And at first it seems really time consuming, but how in the long run does it actually end up saving us time? Even though for some of us it may look like such a gigantic time consuming obstacle.
Right.
To be a winner.
So, everything that we've done, everything that we have was time-consuming to get to, anything that we really wanted. I mean, obviously, carrying you for 9 months was time-consuming, right? And, you don't know, but...
I don't know, I wasn't there. Well, I kind of was, but I wasn't.
Home educating
my,
you guys.
My mind doesn't remember that.
Home educating you
doesn't
guys.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It did happen.
I sure did.
I was not a test tube baby.
I sure felt it.
Mom.
So the thing is that everything's time consuming. Going through, school and getting a degree, whatever, high school diploma, PhD, whatever it is, it was time consuming to get there. You have to make the time to do it. And then the whole promise was it was going to be something better because of the investment that you made. So, the idea that you have battles to win and that is probably the most energy and time consuming things in your life is the losing of the battles. Those take up the most from you. They mess with you the most. So the idea right now is that this is your best investment right now, is to really take a look at what you want to win and win it. Get through all these things that have been shackling you back. That have kept you from really progressing, the traumas, the hurts, the things that you feel slighted about or insulted about or things that seem so impossible, like there's no way that we could regain, whatever was lost. That is worth all the time that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So in this O section of overcome and win is you want to... The idea was that we were going to call it overcame and won because this is the recording and reviewing of something that has already occurred.
Yes.
So you want to record and review for the purpose of remembering. Remembering is such a critical thing. It's something that's not emphasized in our education. You know, we might have to remember something for a test, but the idea that we remember the tools that set us up for the win is absolutely one of the most important things we can remember.
And there's a difference between memorizing and remembering, because memorizing, you know, I feel like is just for a particular moment, just to remember for a moment, but remember is something that is actually timeless. It's something that is reoccurring. You go back to that often to remember. You know, I'm sure it makes more sense what I'm trying to say than how I'm saying it, but
I think people understand. So you're recording and reviewing also so that you can have it, use it for your future wins. So you're remembering and you're using it for future wins. It is your story. What you overcame and you won is your story. Unless you want a story of defeat and struggle and losses, which I don't think anyone really wants that to be their story, even though that a lot of people retell these stories. The story that you're wanting to produce is that overcame and won. And then this helps you to improve. Having this story and having it recorded and written down for you helps you to improve communication. When you write it and you process what you did to overcome, which is really a powerful thing. I mean, really, this is the essence of who you are, is your power to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Your power to make decisions that are successful and that produce wins. That is your power. And so when you write your story and you record that story, you are improving your communication and you're making a permanent record.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part of overcaming and wanting overcome and won, but the thing is that you overcame and won. Having that is that you are able to now make a contribution to others. It's a share, you can make it, once you've written it down, it's organized in your mind, you can make it more concise, it's shareable verbally, it's shareable now in writing, and you are leaving a legacy. Your wins are your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're passing down to every generation that follows. Even if you don't write it down, that win is being passed down. And if you document it and you make it something that you actually communicate with other people, that win is compounded and magnified.
Absolutely. So this is what we can do during this week in the process of declaring our win. First off, determine the battle that you want to win. You know, this goes back to after you write down the different areas of your life that you need, that you're needing to see wins in, determine the ones that you're going to target first. Like we said earlier, if it's a process and there's different steps, and as you're writing it down, the steps that are needing to be taken will be made manifest, and you can go through them with much greater ease than if you were trying to do it all from your mental, trying to cover all the bases at once. And then write your declared win, the end result. What does it look like to you? And then also write down, including in that, write down a statement that defines how you want the battle to be won. Not just what the winning looks like, but how, and you know, if it takes writing down the process to, you know, writing each individual step and getting there, then you do that.
Well, we can either edit this out, which I think we need to do.
Then go ahead and just continue with what you were saying.
Okay, so we're at...
Then you need to do it.
All right. So...
So after legacy, just keep running through it.
Okay. So what you're going to do now, this week, is you're going to begin the declared win process. You want to determine a battle you want to win, and then you want to write down your declared win. And this is a statement that defines how you want the battle to be won. So you want a very definitive statement. And really, it doesn't take much. There's something that, you know, you're probably stuffed full of battles that are just waiting to explode out of you to get rid of. So you just figure out which battles, and one after another, or you write them all down at once. And then you want to write a declared win. And that is usually just one sentence. It might come out to be three, but it only takes less than a minute to declare that win. And some examples are, you know, I wrote four down here that I, for me, it's I have no anger except appropriate righteous anger. And I live completely emotionally stable. I am financially free in 2020. I own 10 acres of horse property within 5 years. And actually, these were just examples. They weren't necessarily for what I was thinking for myself.
But they sound pretty good.
Yeah, they do sound good. So identify and write down all the tools you will need to win. These are the character traits. Okay, so part one's declared win. Second part is I just write down the word tools. And then, again, this only takes but a minute or maybe two. You're going to write down all the character traits or steps of actions you need to perform to accomplish your win. So examples of these would be, like, on the anger thing. This one was actually one of mine. Tools to overcome appropriate anger would be prayer, mindset, patience, being quick to hear, slow to speak. And then we were goofing around about that because we started talking about maybe it means that we
slowly
slowly. Because it really helped instead not to laugh about it and not get angry.
Yeah.
And really address what the problem was, but really slow down my speech. That worked. So wisdom from above, a pure heart. You know, whatever it takes to that you see are tools to help yourself. And then you'll find more later as you review these things. And then, like, for instance, tools to become financially in 2020 could be humility to become what our family has not yet become, great at working together, serving each other so we can accomplish as much as possible, time efficiency. So actually, I just wrote this down, and then I started doing it for myself, financially free by 2020. Time efficiency, prayer for Kyle by all of us, support for Kyle, my husband, teamwork for the rest of us, my website and making myself available to people, requires discipline, consistency, and constant personal growth.
Well, thank you for that. That was very insightful and very, that was like a deeper icing on the cake, if that makes any sense at all. So now, before we conclude, just give us some insight as to the reviewing the action plan as to, you know, mapping out our win.
Okay, sure. Okay, the action plan for this week is use your notebook daily. Do your daily dues. Carve out time to identify your battles. And then whenever you see a need, anytime, you want to write your declared win and the tools you need. So let's say you don't have time to even write the tools you need. Just write the declared win. All of a sudden, if you see, like, oh my goodness, I'm in this battle, either write down what the battle is or write down the declared win or both. And then if you have time, jot down whatever tools that you see right there that you need so that you can process it later. So that, and even that might help you right there, Jimmy, on the spot. So review your notebook several times per day. You know, just when you have a break, when you have just a little time, you just want to take a quick glance at it and go, oh yeah, that's right. You know, this is what I'm thinking or doing. You can begin the habit change of the OPIR, the overview, preview, use, review, and excel. Write those down and just be able to do that as you feel led to, you know, whatever comes to mind. And then we'll go specifically into more details on what you can do in the future. So anything you didn't catch or you need to review, this is archived. You can go ahead and take notes again or share it and sit and listen with some other people and be able to use the tools together. This all is a very important investment of your time. You want to really make sure that you spend the time that you need on yourself. I mean, this is really about deeply meeting your own needs. And in the process, you are fulfilling exactly what you're meant to be here for, and that's to, you know, to win, to demonstrate the use of the tools that we've been given, of character and everything else, for the win, and then also then to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we're able to execute that ability in this process. So there's that scripture. We'll just end with the scripture that says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, and does stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on that day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, and his leaf does not wither, and everything he does, he prospers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we some of us may have looked at that scripture and go, wow, how can in everything we do we prosper? And so this process here of winning your battles, identifying and winning your battles, is really overcoming where we have walked in the counsel of the wicked. Mm-hmm. And we may have even been the wicked giving counsel.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's big, big,
Big battles to win.
Yeah, but they're not difficult. They just take that orientation, you know, reorienting and then organizing and owning and overcoming. So we don't want to sit in the seat of scoffers. We want to see where these battles were scoffing, and we don't want to stand in the path of sinners. You know, we don't want to be, you know, the ones who are negating the very gifts and tools and power that we have to win. So that's why our delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon it we meditate day and night, and then we will be like trees firmly planted by streams of water. And so that's what this process is clearing out. Whether you, you know, wherever you're coming from, even if you're not really attached to scripture or, you know, really wanting to attach to the Lord, still go through this process. Everyone go through the process and see what you come up with. Give us feedback, you know, let us help you, you know, be a testimony to other people by sharing your story and enjoying your wins.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, to stay connected, go to JoniLecky.com, J-O-N-I-L-E-C-K-E-Y, JoniLecky.com, where you'll receive updates in regards to your battle to win. We broadcast 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. And
on Sundays.
Yeah. Look forward to seeing you guys next week. This is your battle to win. Hey guys, we're back, and this last segment is called Digging Deeper. And basically, what we do is we're going to be diving. We're going to be digging deeper into how to approach this from a even more deeper spiritual standpoint, and how you can apply this to your faith walk and greater spiritual perspective.
Right, because really, when we're talking about these battles, I hope that it comes across that these battles are actually spiritual in nature, right? They're deeper than just a physical battle. It's the battle of the pen versus the battle of the sword. And that battle of the pen is philosophical, but it's also what we can also label as the spiritual battle, that we're all given the opportunity to die, to have a spiritual battle in this life.
Mm-hmm.
So this digging deeper section is just to clarify a little bit about what the win is from a more spiritual perspective, the idea that it takes faith to win anything. It takes faith. You have to believe it, and it has to take faith that it's possible. And so in that, it's not just the faith, it's also the wisdom. So the reason why the Lord asks us to ask for wisdom and he gives it generously is because he really is there for us to win. I think that's part of the battle, to come to this place that we're talking about right now, is that the creator of the world, the earth, heaven
universe.
And earth, yeah, wants us to win. He doesn't want us to lose. He's given us truth. He's all about truth. And so he wants to give us the truth. He wants to give us generous wisdom, because wisdom is about truth. It's not about lies. Wisdom is not about deception.
Mm-mm.
So that we want clarity in how we orient ourselves in the wind. So we, to even make it more specific, you know, we talked about the four O's earlier, that we can make it more specific for those who have a faith base and even those who don't. If you want to just bear with us and kind of listen to this portion, and then we're going to get to the action plan. The idea is that the more clear you are, the more you can win a battle. If you're not clear about what's happening, then it's not possible. So just to bring a little added, or a lot of added clarity, that the Lord God Almighty is here for us. He's not against us. You know, we as people really can't see truth in its completeness. So when he wrote the scripture, you know, or presented it so that we can have it, that men, all men are liars, that he is not, that it's for us to really see that you know, what is the deceptions that we live in, and all these problems that we have and battles that we're facing is because we have been deceived, you know, some of it on our own, but a lot because we are up against the real enemy of our souls, the real enemy who's come to steal, kill, and destroy and blind us.
Mm-hmm.
and make us self-centered and you know, self-righteous and unable to see what is the real way to win the battles, and that really requires humility. And part of it too is the Lord has been really patient. He's very patient with us. But he's given us this battle to figure it out, that we have to win it. I mean, we don't have to, but you know, it seems absurd not to, right?
Why wouldn't you want to win?
Right.
Everybody wants to win.
So we kind of, you know, we're not going to go over it right now, but just want to pose the question, what builds faith? You know, if you want to jot these down or just ponder it, what is faith and why is it needed for your win? And then the idea that when we do this declared win, when we look at what faith is in Hebrews, it says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The declared win is an assurance of things hoped for. He really wants us to be assured by our faith that we can win, that he wants us to overcome evil with good, that good has power, and that power is to overcome, and that power is then therefore to win and have a victory, and that we are more than conquerors, right, in Christ mm-hmm. Jesus. So, you know, prayers, you know, might seem like, you know, what good do they do? I mean, there's a whole spectrum of belief on what prayers are about and what they do. But when you really believe that you can win this, and that there's all these things that are necessary and you're owning this win, it becomes very, very connected for us to want to pray about it. Because we start to see that all of the battles center around an ability to express and communicate. Every battle has to do with our ability to communicate truths or function within the right realm. And communication is actually when we act upon something, we are communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So the communication that we have with our Creator is part of the battle. It's part of the victory. So our prayers are important because they're not just to some, you know, creature out there that or made up, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Right. It's real communication with the one who put this forth for us to win against the real enemy of our souls, you know. And so when he says he wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know, it really became evident to me that when we win, that's how we are loving him, because we are believing in the power of his word and we're putting our faith in his word or in him. And then therefore we show our love by believing him enough to use the power he's given us to win.
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth part and the whole thing, we went through assurance, evidence. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Are the tools and the ability. I kind of skipped over that one, I guess. So assurance, evidence, prayers, and story. So history, his story. Those are the overcame part. So the assurance is the orient.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence is the organized. The prayers are the owning it, and the story is the overcame. And to really see that the story is our testimony, it's his story being written in how we overcame.
Mm-hmm.
So just putting it into a different perspective, a digging deeper place. So we want to believe all things, bear all things, hope all things, endure all things for others. We want to love. We want our love to never fail. So we want to also declare wins for others. Because that's not only loving them, but it's loving ourselves. When we look at the loving our neighbor as ourself, these are really declared wins for others. And then you'll really see how that it integrates. I mean, I know you have. You know, we've done this. So,
yeah.
So for time's sake, we're going to go into the declared win for others just kind of superficially, I mean, and we'll go through it again later, but you can do this if you pick up on it quickly. You're going to write, just like you did for yourself, you're going to write the declared win for someone else. So let's say you're in conflict with someone or someone struggling within your family or in your workforce. So you're going to write down the declared win for them, and then you're going to write down the tools that they need to win. And then you'll write down the tools you need to win for them. And so the interesting thing is that it usually requires the same tools for their win in us and then some more. So when
true.
The Lord says for us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we start to realize that that's our winning. Takes everything for us to win our battles. And so then that's loving him. And then to love ourselves as our neighbors, to love our neighbor as ourselves, takes us to win these battles for others, that we actually declare the win for them. We acknowledge their tools. We obviously don't strong arm them or beat them over their head with the things that they need to do. But we start to realize that our example and our prayers and our ability to emulate the things that they need is really the tools that that will help equip them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it in a nutshell. If you want to go through that process as well. You know, you can contact us on Facebook or on the website if you have questions or want some assistance in going through this week or just want to give some feedback and are a little excited. So your plan of action for the week. Take it away, Jared.
Oh! Okay. All right, so your plan of action. Step one, use your notebook daily. Even if it's just quickly jotting down one random line that you thought of when you were, when you're going throughout your day and you found out, oh, there's another area of the battle that I need to win. Carve out time to identify your battles. So spend time, sitting down and reviewing what you've written down and really be spending time mentally focused on painting the picture in your mind of what winning looks like. Whenever you see you need to win a battle, write your declared win and the tools you need to win that, kind of in line with 1 and 2, and just dive a little bit deeper into making sure that you're diligent in that.
You know what? I think I should take this section too.
Okay.
All right. So you introduce me on the action. Say, okay, we're here ready for the action plan.
So let me do that?
Mm-hmm. So you introduce me now into the action plan.
I'm just thinking of how I'm ready. Yeah, that was, thank you for that. That was very, what are you doing?
I'm going to write down the time so you know what time it was, but I can't see
No, I'm not worried about it. I can edit. I'm going to edit this later.
Okay.